Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. I hope everybody is having a wonderful holiday season. It's not too crazy for you. Merry Christmas to all of you. Today's guest is Patricia Simone. And Patricia's been on the show a couple of times now with me, and we've had a lot of fun together, and we've been talking prior to recording the show this morning. And our topic today is going to be New Beginnings for 2020. And that is such a big number to me to think that we're moving into 2020 now. Before we begin, I want to remind everybody that without our health, it is really difficult to connect the dots to our emotional, spiritual, and mental sides. And what I mentioned to Patricia a minute ago is that, you know, like a three-legged stool, you know, that has balance to it. But if you only have one leg you're standing on, and that might be the physical, or maybe you're emotionally really balanced, but your physical is falling apart, or maybe you're academically doing so well in your career that you've chosen, and, you know, yet your emotional life and your physical life aren't working. So at a bare bones minimum, you need to have three legs working. And one of those has to be your health, because if you've ever been sick, you know that nothing else matters until you get well. And so people that are down with the flu, or they've broken maybe a bone or something like that, they can't feel complete until those things mend. So I would encourage you to go check on my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and there is a Boomers link there, and it'll take you right into what I believe is one of the best ways to stay healthy, using the Gladiator Barley. Bob has talked about that when I've interviewed him. Using the Boomer Boost, which has 70 different minerals and vitamins. Using a product called Muscadine Resveratrol, which keeps inflammation at a very low level. We've talked about a lot of different things that will keep you healthy. So as we enter 2020, let's make this a great year for staying healthy in mind, body, and spirit. So back to Patricia. Patricia is a certified hypnotherapist. And the last time she interviewed me, and I mentioned that, no, she wasn't going to hypnotize me to do that interview. But she does work with people to go, I would say, unroot memories that maybe are holding them back. She's also an intuitive counselor. She's an energy healer. We have that in common. We're both practicing Reiki practitioners. And she uses all those modalities to help heal the lives of clients that she comes into contact with. And so how would you want people to get hold of you if after the show they hear your voice and they just know that you're going to be the person to get them healthy?
Yes, thanks. People can reach out to my website. They can contact me through that venue. My email is attached to that as well. It's www.thejewelsofknowledge.com, or by email, patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com, as well as by phone, 631-942-0506. Those would be the best ways to reach out.
Okay, so I'm thinking that there's going to be several people after they listen to how to kind of start new beginnings for 2020 that are going to go, yeah, I need to talk to her. I need to drop some of this baggage I've been lugging with me for years and let it go so that I can have a better 2020 than I've had in the past.
I think so. I mean, we're coming up on the beginning of a new year, but also a new decade.
A new decade, yeah.
Yeah, so we have lots of hopes and dreams that we are hoping to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And if we have a lot of that junk getting in the way, it's hard for us to progress forward.
You know, some people, I think at the beginning of a new year, they clean their closets.
Yes.
You know, they get rid of stuff that they know they're never going to fit into again. They right. know are maybe out of fashion, you mm-hmm. know, style-wise.
Right.
And so maybe it's time that people begin to look at things they've been dragging around emotionally right. That, you know, don't serve them anymore, or getting rid of physical weight that doesn't right. serve them anymore. Because you and I both know as therapists, a lot mm-hmm. of times when people are carrying extra weight, it's because of emotional baggage.
Right.
You know, and they're using the weight as protection.
Right. Absolutely. As protection and or comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we can look at that for, you know, in many ways. Why is that part of what we're doing to ourselves? And many mm-hmm. people want to take the weight off. Many people want to create those new beginnings mm-hmm. before we can start fresh. So we need to sort of wind up and clean out the old stuff to make mm-hmm. room. Like when you clean your closet, doesn't it feel great? You have all that space in there to fill it with all new favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would look at ending this year with clearing out all the things that no longer serve us emotionally, physically, even in our physical space,
mm-hmm.
in order to prepare for what it is we want to create for 2020, a whole new decade. So I would say, looking at our physical body.
Maybe it'd be a good idea to stand in front of the mirror without any clothes on.
Yeah, that's one way of doing it. I mean, that, you know, that's a private decision, I would say. But I would say, look at the, when I'm saying the physical body, I'm even speaking spiritually, right? So let's imagine looking at the earth and you're going to plant a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you just plant the seeds, or does the ground need to be prepared? Do we need to enrich the soil? So let's prepare the emotional body as much as we would prepare the land to plant a new garden. The more that we prepare it, the better we prepare it to receive a new seed,
mm-hmm.
the better the chance of that seed growing.
All right. So one of the thoughts that come to my mind, you know, and again, my therapist is kicking in here, but if you were a hoarder, okay?
Yes.
And you and I've worked with people. I'm sure you have, because I have, that have been hoarders. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you're going to help a hoarder get rid of things that they truly don't need to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you'll have three boxes, three bins, three something.
Yes, yes.
So you have one because they have a difficult time releasing anything.
Right.
So you have one that goes, have you really got a use for this? And
right.
if you can get them to say no, you know, we're going to donate. So you drop something in there. Another one is a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure. I can't release it just yet. And another one is definitely I want to keep this.
Right.
So we could kind of do that with even a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
That if somebody were looking at themselves as they move into 2020,
mm-hmm.
what do I love about myself that
right.
I don't want to get rid of because I really like that aspect of me? What
right.
do I know that I need to get rid of because it's holding me back?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I not sure of?
Right. And that is one good way to do it. Oftentimes I have my clients sit down, and there's a couple, one list would say, do I want it or do I need it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if I want it, what is it about that I want?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I identify with that? And so that's one place to start. And if I want it and I don't need it, what purpose is it serving?
Okay, so let's use, I've always had an affinity for chocolate cake.
Okay.
I love chocolate cake. Do I have it every week? No.
No.
Do I have it even once a month? Probably not.
Right.
But when I do have it, I want it to be a really good chocolate cake.
That's true, yes.
And so it's got to be something that kind of talks to me.
Right.
And my mom, when I was a freshman in college, I was turning 18, so I started college when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent my favorite chocolate cake to me at school. And I was
right.
like 400 miles away. So it was packed in popcorn and, you know,
yeah,
it was a mess
sweet.
By the time it got to me, but it
right.
was so good. So, you know, if somebody has something that they really want, Mm-hmm. They don't need it. Because I didn't need the chocolate cake.
No, we don't need things, but...
Mm-hmm. But we really wanted it, so.
Yeah, well, if it's something that brings pleasure into our lives.
Exactly.
Right, so that's okay, that's fine. But if it's something that is causing us to be unhappy or dissatisfied, why do we want it?
And that takes a little prodding. And I think if they're not seeing a therapist to figure that out,
right,
then maybe just doing a little journaling. And,
right,
and trying to understand, what is it about my want that,
right,
is really talking to me? And,
right,
maybe the want has to do with, I don't feel that I'm being treasured, you know,
mm-hmm,
as a person. I don't feel some emotion that whatever it is that I want is providing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young lady, and again, you've had many, I'm sure, but I had a young lady that I saw who was in college, and her parents had given her a credit card, which was a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And she had all kinds of unresolved emotional issues, and the way she fixed that was to go shopping.
Right.
So her room at college was just filled to, you know, as much as you could possibly fill a college room with things that she was buying that she had really no desire to use.
Right.
But it was the purchasing part of it that made her,
yeah,
feel special.
So that's when we start to identify, okay, what kind of behavior patterns am I following here?
Mm-hmm.
Are these healthy behavior patterns? Are they, what purpose are they serving? And is that something that I want to bring into the next part of my life?
Right. And 2020 is 10 years worth.
Yeah, and we have 10 years worth. So whether you're finding yourself fulfilling emotional needs through purchase,
mm-hmm,
through food, through
alcohol,
or other means that may seemingly give you pleasure in a momentary sense, is that something that's giving you an overall good feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it, what are you doing with your purchase? What is, you know, we all need food to live, right? So we have to eat to survive. We're also allowed to have treats as well.
Mm-hmm.
No one should say that we should be depriving ourselves. However, if we're choosing an action that is momentary and spontaneous, that doesn't have any long-lasting, fulfilling rewards, then why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you were working with somebody through hypnosis,
mm-hmm,
that maybe had an unresolved, I'm going to say, eating disorder,
mm-hmm,
or addiction to something, and they wanted to change that. They're tired of lugging that part around with them, and 2020 would serve as an opportunity to start anew.
Yeah.
How would you go about working with them?
Well, first we would find out let's say it's an eating pattern or it's a spending. We would really want to go back and identify, when did this habit really begin?
Mm-hmm.
At what age? And through the process of hypnosis and working with the subconscious mind, will store all of those memories,
mm-hmm,
all of the reasons why we do things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I would take my client back to the point in time when they first began this relationship with food or with spending or whatever comfort it is, and we would find out how old was the person.
What's the typical age? Because I would think through hypnosis that they might go all the way back to when they were 3 or 4 years old and they remember something that triggered.
So it's funny, a few of my clients have been coming in to remove their addiction or relationship with sweets,
mm-hmm,
and one of them went back to a point in time where he was about 5 or 7 years old. I don't remember the exact date, but this just was this fall. And he was getting a piece of candy from his grandmother. And he just felt so much love at that point that his grandmother was there.
Okay.
But he was not intellectual enough to understand that what he was feeling was an overwhelming feeling of love for his grandmother.
So the candy
so
became love.
The candy, he identified with love because,
mm-hmm,
he loved his grandmother so much, and his grandmother loves him so much. And every time she would greet him, she gave him rock candy that she made. And so that was the identifying factor. And so now we find a key. Okay, so he wasn't able to really understand the word that I love my grandmother and my grandmother loves me, but the act of receiving that candy. And so each time from that point forward, seeing the grandmother, feeling the love, getting the candy. And so our mind starts to accept the candy as love without really knowing the word for it.
You know, a lot of people don't really understand that those connections, they're like, the more we make the connections, the deeper the channel becomes in our brain. So it's a definite path. It's a pathway that we cement, for lack of a better word. And so you have to then figure out something else to put in there in order to make a new pathway.
That's correct. And so, in you know, to go back into what we were just speaking about, if we're in hypnosis and we find out that, okay, now we understand that this is when our relationship with, let's say, sweets began. What was really going on there? Does eating candy really equal love? And with the intellect of a five-year-old, see, our subconscious mind doesn't tell time. So it will always feel that surge of love when choosing sweets until we can identify it, bring awareness to this is why you feel this way. And what you were really feeling was love for a person. So now, how are you going to, you know, it's a process. It's not a one session. Typically, it's not one session where we identify it. Now, what are you going to do when you see the sweets the next time? Well, I'm going to really think about it before I eat it, thinking, is this really what love is? Is love really a piece of candy or cake? No. So what is it that I'm really craving at the moment? So now I'm going to begin to identify, am I craving the feeling of love? Well, yes, my loved one is out of town and I feel... So we don't know these things with full consciousness. It's an underlying pattern that has been instilled in us since, let's say, the age of five, not by anybody else, but just by our own understanding of our environment in our world at that moment.
So a lot of times food is linked to affection. And, you know, fixing something for somebody, you know, is a way of saying, I love you. Eating it is a way of receiving the love. But somebody who actually has a food addiction, either negative or positive, because, I mean, we have anorexia, we have bulimia, we have overeating to the degree that it's unhealthy. So then they have to go back in and figure out, how can I feed myself with affection and not be detrimental to my health?
And exactly. And so in a hypnotic state, the client would then, let's ask the question then, now that you understand this, where this relationship with sweets started, what would be a better thing that this five-year-old needed to know? The five-year-old, or my client, who would let this particular person was, you know, much in a more mature state, says, well, what that little boy really needed to know is how much his grandma loved him. Wouldn't it have been better to use the words? Right? So now let's let that five-year-old know. So this is inner child work. How much his grandmother loved him. And let's, you know, bring that into awareness and into alignment with what does this feeling of desire for love really feel like. So let's tell the five-year-old that he was loved, and let's give him the words to say how much he loved his grandmother. Because he didn't know how to express himself then. He wasn't shown or taught how to say, this is all love. So in hypnosis, we will do that. And we get very satisfactory results. And now that we understand what that means, when we are needing to feel loved, what is going to be a better choice? And that's individual for each person. So you will be in a hypnotic state. You'll be able to say, oh, this is what I need. And when I'm feeling this craving for love, I know that I need to do some self-care and what will make me feel loved. So that's individual. So whatever you feel you need is going to come up in hypnosis. those words, those feelings, and that's your replacement, and that's your starting point.
Right, and then that's that link so that it's no longer food equals love, but it's love equals, and like you said, self-care. So for that person, it might be maybe going for a massage.
Absolutely.
You know, or maybe it's going for a walk in nature, or listening to music, or taking private time just for yourself and not always giving to others.
Right. And that's absolutely a very good point. And so in order to start the new healthy habit of self-love or feeling love, we have to understand that we can no longer do it the way that we were doing it before. Mm-hmm. And bringing into the light the fact of the relationship with food or sweets started at 5. I've been doing it for all these years, and it hasn't served me well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So understanding now I'm having a craving, it's not really about craving sweets. It's really craving love. Mm-hmm. So now what can I do? So you have to have that awareness and that wake-up call. When you come out of the session and you want to go home and have a piece of candy right away, you're going to realize, I'm eating this because I feel like I want love. Doesn't that sound a little silly? So, you know, when you're the person thinking it. So bringing the awareness in, ending that old connection, if you will, disconnecting that dot and creating a new place to receive that feeling is much healthier. And that begins the strengthening process. So in order to begin that new process, we have to understand and end the old process.
You know, that really kind of goes back to learning how to listen. Yeah. And I've often said that that's the one skill that most people don't have, is they know how to talk. Mm-hmm. You've always heard the expression that God gave us two ears so we would listen twice as much.
And one mouth. Right.
Yeah. But most people know how to talk, and when they hear words, they're actually hearing because they don't know how to respond. And so the listening part isn't really listening to the message. Mm-hmm. It's listening to words so I know what to say back.
Right.
And I think, you know, with something like beginning something altogether different for 2020 in our lives, it's going to be learning to listen to our inner voice.
Right.
Because if we're always paying attention to what everyone else is saying, we're not really grasping what we need on an individual level. And so maybe it's going to be slowing down enough, you know, taking those quiet walks, being out in nature enough to actually hear what is important to us as individuals.
Right. And, you know, and that's a very good point. And one thing I will say is that the answer is right there. Mm-hmm. If people want to take a moment and listen to what their voice is saying in their head, that tape that's constantly playing, we can really identify what it is we would like next.
Right.
But typically that voice for many people is, I don't want this anymore.
They're substituting. They're substituting with something that they know makes them temporarily feel good.
Right.
Which is what happens with most alcoholics or drug addicts.
Right.
Is that it's a temporary fix, but it hasn't addressed the issue.
Right. And so in order to get to the real issue, we need to get the clutter out of the way, the mind clutter.
Yep. Go into that closet.
Go into that little mental closet. And let's just take a nice deep breath of fresh air and imagine, like, as you would breathe in, letting that air go up into the mind and push out all those old negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And let the mind be still for a few minutes so that the positive ideas can come through. Because when there's all that clutter up there, there's no room for something new and refreshing to show up.
You know, you and I did something together that was really a lot of fun. And it was like a healing session that I did on you and you did on me.
Yes, that was fun. We're going to do that again, right?
Yes, we are. But one of, and I've given this as an idea to a couple of individuals that needed to probably do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. But it was the magnet. And you had me visualize a magnet from the top of my head. Yes. And as it passed over my body, it would literally pull out anything that was no longer serving me.
Right. Oh,
and
you
then
liked that.
I did. I thought it was a fabulous exercise, and it was a very visual for me.
Right.
And then when it got to the bottom of my feet, I think we blew it away. So that it had pulled everything out, but then we had to do something with it.
Yeah, we had to get rid of it, so we had to... Well, I think we typically what I do is when we get to the feet, we check in with the body, see if there's any spot that needs a little extra attention, pull the magnet back up to get all of it off, and then we take those nice breaths in and blow it out into the universe as far away so that it transforms into positive energy.
Right.
And I'm using my hands as I talk, but I do that. But then what you did there was you created space to fill up your energetic body with healing light, which I remember we bring in, and just allow yourself to absorb all of that healing energy to refresh you, rejuvenate you, lift up your energy, bring positive energy back in to the emotional body. And we can all do that every day.
Exactly. And I was thinking for somebody who, as they, again, begin looking at 2020, if they know that they're holding on to maybe interpersonal relationship issues or job stress or something that they absolutely can identify, maybe as they wake up in the morning to lay in bed for a few minutes and visualize that that magnet is going to pull anything that is not serving them.
Right.
And blow it away before you start your day, rather than throwing your feet on the floor and gathering up everything that is non-functional and carrying it with you out the door.
Absolutely. It's a great way to start the day. You know, when you shift your thoughts in the morning and many people wake up and they're already going, oh, I'm not ready to get up yet. Let's take a minute and say, well, why not? I have a great, I have a lot to look forward to. Take that magnet and lift up all that stuff that's blocking you from feeling positive and change your mindset and say, you know, today I'm going to take control of my attitude and today is going to be a good day. And you'll see the difference just by making that one shift in the morning when your mind is still pliable.
Right.
Is still open to receive positive information, programming, if you will, self-programming. I choose to make the outcome of my day positive. And just making that and then waking up and taking that thought with you throughout the day, you can continuously change your thought when you get to work, when you're plugging your coffee in the morning and you're going to say, oh, this is great, I'm so glad to have that coffee to start my day. You get to choose how you want to face the face each day, face the world. But most people don't look at it that way.
No, I would say the majority of people probably are waking up with thoughts of what they have to accomplish.
Yes.
And maybe they're running behind. And so they're going to start rushing in order to get out the door on time. And then they're faced with traffic.
Right.
So... our thoughts are ours to control, but I would wager to say that the majority of people let other circumstances and other things control their thoughts.
Right, yes. That mental list starts from the minute we open our eyes.
It does.
Until the minute we close our eyes. But I can tell you, as you know, and I know, that we are intelligent beings.
Right.
We have made it this far in our lives because we haven't forgotten the important things. We get things done. We accomplish all the things that we set out to do. We've only trained ourselves to remember over and over and over again that we can't forget this, I have to do that. And so we send our mind on a mental list that we'll never finish.
No. In fact, one of the funny things, I should have bought stock years ago in Post-its.
Oh, yeah.
Because I use them and, you know, as you get older, the more things you have to remember, the more difficult sometimes it is. It's not just going to school, doing my homework, you know, coming home and spending time with friends. We've got a lot of responsibilities, usually as we get older. And so I use Post-its, but I love the sensation of actually finishing what was on the post-it and wadding it up and throwing it away.
Right.
And I realize, you know, it's killing some trees because I'm using little little squares of paper.
Right.
But it's such a nice feeling to go, oh, that's off my list.
Yes.
That one's gone.
And it's true. It's good with the post-its, because it's one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to keep restructuring your list.
Right.
Or, you know what a list looks like when you keep crossing things off
and
you have to look for what needs to be done.
Exactly, exactly.
So that is a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, we can start, you know, our day on a brighter note and choosing, mm-hmm. you know, to look for the good things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind is so conditioned to look for the things that have gone wrong so that we can protect and preserve. But we can also choose to look for good things. And that's one thing I have a lot of my clients do when they come in feeling overwhelmed. And that nighttime with insomnia, I can't fall asleep. It's that, I call it a hamster wheel.
Yes, yeah,
the
it is.
The hamster wheel just doesn't want to stop. And, you know, well, let's give the hamster something new to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give the hamster the job of looking for the thing that made you happy today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give the hamster the job. If it wasn't today, was it yesterday? Let's look for that moment. And then when you remember that moment, you start to remember the encounter. Then you start to feel the feeling of joyfulness or laughter. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to bed feeling lighter. And it's easier to sleep that way.
You know, one of the things that I've realized that I've been doing for a number of years now, with a good camera on an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
Before you had to carry a camera with you,
yes.
and then you had to go get the pictures developed,
right?
Because you couldn't usually see what you had taken. But with an
yes.
iPhone, you can make wonderful photographs,
and you can
edit them, you can send them, you can put them on Facebook. But when I'm out, I am constantly aware now of what I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
That makes me smile.
Right.
And I was over at, for those of you in Pinellas County, John Chestnut Park is mm-hmm. right there by Oldsmar and McMullen Booth Road. And it's a big, beautiful park, and there's a lot of deer in it. But I was over there on Sunday morning, and there was a squirrel, and he had lost half of his tail. And I'm sure that half of the tail was, you know, taken off by something that wanted to maybe eat him. And he had escaped with his life. And that was a good thing because he survived because he lost half of his tail.
Right.
But he was so friendly. And the other squirrels, not so much. But he was very friendly. So I had my coffee cup and I put it down on the ledge. And he came right up to it. And I was able to take a picture of him trying to figure out what was in the coffee cup. And so I'm, you know, if you take a picture of something that makes you smile, or maybe a situation where you were with people that you loved being with,
right.
and you keep it on your phone,
mm-hmm.
whenever you're feeling a little down, go back and look at your pictures.
It's true. I mean, and I saw that picture. You
mm-hmm.
showed it to me
yeah.
today. That was adorable. And, you know, it wasn't, I didn't realize all of the information leading up to that picture.
Uh-huh.
But it was amazing that he came up and you were able to get that picture of him so close
mm-hmm.
and to share it. Because not only did you get joy out of it, but it also gave me joy looking at this cute little squirrel looking
right.
into your cup.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just, you can spread joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is not something that you hold on to. It's not just for you.
Right. And if you're traveling, you know, like if you have pictures on your phone, and you're feeling, I don't know, maybe lonely or
mm-hmm.
There's, you know, like I have a cat that's a rescue cat. So if I was traveling, looking at her face,
right.
you know, would give me pleasure. And so we can do that. And,
right.
and that's because of technology. So we don't have to say, well, there's nothing in my life that gives me joy. There's
right.
things everywhere.
That's true. And if you can't find something, look for it. Because
yes.
if you can find something when you're... So the exercise that I was discussing earlier for my clients that
mm-hmm.
come in, go back and look for the joy. Suddenly, after a day or two, you're starting to realize, like, oh, tonight when I go to bed, I'm going to remember this moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is the joyful moment.
So the focus has changed.
So the focus has shifted. It's changed. And before long, you find yourself in bed recalling the happy parts of your day,
mm-hmm.
whether you've completed your sales force, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've completed your quota for the year, and now you can reflect joyfully on that rather than worrying about wonder what my quota is going to be next year, right? You're training your brain with just a very minimal amount of effort to start to look for happy things.
Right.
And as you do that, you're grateful. Mm-hmm. So now you have a new practice of being grateful. Your gratitude practice, mm-hmm. your mindfulness. You're more mindful of the happy things. You look for happy things. And once you start to look, the more you look for happy, the more you find it.
So I'm going to use this as a path into a story that I had shared with you, because I think that as you begin to walk in a very spiritual, vibrational frequency, let's put it that way, and I think some of the listeners understand what I'm talking about at this point, that the universe or God or whatever you believe in begins mm-hmm. to show you that you are on the right path.
Right.
And I mentioned to you when you arrived, after we had talked for a few minutes, about this box from Tiffany's that came.
Yes.
And I knew that I did not order anything from Tiffany's. And yet there was this big, beautiful box that arrived. And when I opened it, it was from the CEO of Tiffany's. And I was like, whoa.
And great story.
Mm-hmm. So inside of the box was a thank you card for being one of their customers for a number of years, more years than I could have ever been a customer, and yet it had my name on it. And he was just thanking me for being a American Express cardholder. And when I actually opened up the box, there are two beautiful hand-blown champagne glasses that were from Tiffany's. It's engraved that mm-hmm. it's Tiffany & Company. And not only that, but on the sticker on each of the champagne flutes was the fact that it was made for Tiffany's in Italy, which is where I'm going this coming summer for a couple mm-hmm. of weeks. And so I thought, oh my goodness, the universe is absolutely not only saying you're on the right path, we want you to go to Italy, mm-hmm. but all is good that's coming up in your life. And here are two, not one, but two champagne
right.
glasses.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's cheers to relationships, cheers to travel,
success.
And that is one of those times when you know that you're in the right vibrational frequency.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one you can't make this stuff up.
No.
No, you cannot make it up. It's just amazing when, you know, the universe rewards action.
Yes.
And so the seeds that we plant, right, with your book, how long ago did you write that book, the first copy?
The actual story generated from almost 35 years ago now.
Right.
The e-book did not come out until 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the actual book itself will be coming out in early 2020.
So isn't this, let's just use this as a wonderful example.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 years ago, the idea for this story came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to encourage people with their own stories, right, that we may have an idea, that we may not know what to do with it. And it takes time
mm-hmm.
to figure out the path, but to not be disheartened by it. Because
right.
how many years later, then you had the first ebook in 2013, and now you have greater news coming up, right,
mm-hmm.
for this year with
right.
the book,
right.
the movie, and I've been seeing the travelers and all their, you know, the little characters that
mm-hmm.
are adorable
mm-hmm.
in all the environments. Weren't they just up north
yes.
recently?
Yeah, they were up in Micanopy, and I also took them over to Heritage Village.
I saw
so they
that, too.
They had a fun time there.
They do, and so it, you know, we may have an idea that may take time to cultivate, and
mm-hmm.
it's a beginning. So this story began 30 years ago. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And so, but we need to have that beginning.
Right.
And if we give up on it, will we ever see it flourish? So, like, the message that I'm feeling for your listeners today is, don't give up on that story. You know, the story may seem like it doesn't have a place to go just yet,
mm-hmm.
but keep at it, keep it on your shelf, keep nurturing it, and before you know it, you're going to see the success, mm-hmm. whether the universe brings you 2 wine glasses from Tiffany's via American Express right. or some other confirmation
right.
to you that it's there. So don't lose hope for that.
Right.
We have a whole new decade coming up, which is starting very soon, snowballing forward now. Mm-hmm. And your story still goes on with your... Right. Your characters, Miss Twig, right?
Miss Twigs. Uh-huh.
Miss Twigs has got a whole new adventure coming up. And but now, starting in 2020, she's got a place to be.
She does.
She's really got a whole new wardrobe, if you will.
Well,
and so, you know, it's a beginning, but it's also a continuation.
Uh-huh. And I think there's a lot of people that... You know, they do give up on their dreams. You know,
right.
maybe they wanted to, you know, get an undergraduate or a graduate degree in
right.
something.
Right.
And they, you know, time, family, finances, jobs,
right.
you know, step in the way and they don't get the job done.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they can't, you know. And I just saw a picture, in fact, I think it was on Facebook, of an 80 or 82-year-old woman who just finished her undergraduate degree. And it was a goal that she had. Now, at her age, probably a lot of people would go, why would you spend that much money and time and energy?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was her dream. It
right.
was something she really wanted to do. And so she
right.
did it. And how many people are listening have a business idea? Maybe they have a book. Maybe they have a concept, you know, like Joy did. You know, for starting
yes.
the, what was her?
Well, she had the MOP.
Yes, the MOP was how she started. And so the home-based
right.
network.
The home shopping network, yes.
You know, started. And she's a multi-millionaire.
Right.
And, you know, if you ever saw her movie, it came out 2 or 3 years ago now. But it was such a neat movie because she started with nothing.
Right. And so what I would say, another thing to you listeners, is when we talk about cleaning out the closet, to tie back into that, removing the clutter, because you know what? You might find that dream at the back of that closet that got all the clutter pushed in front
mm-hmm,
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so wouldn't it be nice to take that dream out, brush it off, let's reexamine it for 2020. Where do we need to go with this? Can this really work right now? Maybe now's the point in time where I have time to nurture this dream.
Or maybe it's just the right time. You know, because
right.
when there was a time for me, and we're using that word a lot right at the moment, but there was a moment back, golly, 25 years ago maybe, when a gentleman who was what's called a channeler, so he would go into a hypnotic trance
mm-hmm.
and he would channel information from his guides. And he was gone. He said he was at the end of a silver thread
mm-hmm.
and he could see himself, but he didn't know what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him quite well. And I had asked him, you know, if when he was in this trance, if my book was going to be accepted by publishers. And like I said, this was probably 25 years ago. And he said, no. He said, it will not be at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you will know when things are in the right place
mm-hmm.
and it will be accepted and it will become very successful. But what I heard was no.
Right.
And
right.
so I was devastated. And
mm-hmm.
I literally took all of the paperwork, all of my notes, because he said no. And I put it in a big envelope and I thought, well, I'll pull it back out at some other moment in my life.
Right.
And years went past, and I got busy with my career, with raising my son,
right.
with relocating to Wisconsin, you know,
mm-hmm.
to doing all kinds of things that I needed to do, obviously.
Right.
But it wasn't until I moved to Florida, and my husband became ill,
mm-hmm.
and I had time that I was here, you know, helping take care of him, that I pulled it back out, because it gave me an avenue of doing something that was constructive and positive.
Right.
And so timing is everything. And maybe
it is
in the back of a closet.
Right.
And you need to go find it so that
exactly.
you can use this next decade towards fulfilling.
To really fulfilling your
mm-hmm.
dreams, right? Because
yeah.
we're all entitled to dreams.
Absolutely.
And we're all entitled to success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's really good and an important note to remember here is that you didn't throw the dream away.
No, I put it in a big envelope.
Yeah, right. Which, you know what? A lot of people may have totally disregarded it because of the no.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But some part of you knew that it was going to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, hold on to those dreams because they can come true. We just have to have everything in the right placement, get the clutter out of the way. And,
well, Grandma Moses didn't start really painting until she was in her 80s.
And that's true. And Colonel Sanders. Yeah, yep. He's another great success story. And what about Warren Buffett? When did he start collecting his millions? I think it was after his retirement.
I believe so. Just because he knew the road to walk down in order to be successful. And sometimes that's the key, is that we have to have a lot of life experiences before we can parlay that into something that is successful.
Right. That's right. And nothing is lost. Experience has value.
Yes.
And the things that we learn upon our journey are things that we will use and sharpen our tools when they're necessary.
How many people do you think reach an age, and I'm going to use 50 to 60, you know, because a lot of times that's the change of life
mm-hmm.
kind of moment. But they say to themselves, I'm too old now.
Oh, yes. You would be surprised. I mean, I'm hoping that the world is shifting and realizing that 50 is the new 30.
Right. When an age is a number.
Yeah. And, you know, age is a mindset
mm-hmm.
as well. And so let's live our lives that we don't have age.
Right.
That we can do whatever we want to do. We take care of our body inside, outside, our spirituality. We feed our intellect. We're always learning, and even when we don't want to learn, we're learning.
We're learning. Right.
And so,
sometimes life teaches you the hard way.
Yeah, and if you put an age to it, you know, what is your idea of age? When you say I'm 50, am I mature or am I old?
Right.
I mean, this is
And life is just beginning or is
and
it
life,
ending?
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a new lease on life every single day.
Right.
And if you don't like something in your life, then let's sit down and talk about it and figure out how can we make it better.
Right.
Because it always can be better. The best of our memories maybe haven't even happened yet.
Right. I have somebody that I love dearly that uses the expression, the best is yet to come.
Right.
And I think that's a wonderful mindset because we don't know what the best is.
Right.
It's out there.
Oh, it really is. And that's another thing to look at. What is the best? How do you identify what's best for you?
Mm-hmm.
Sit down with yourselves. Make a list of, you know, you want to be happy. What are the things that you need to make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need? So that's something to think about going into 2020. What, I want to be happy. Well, sit down and write that list and say, what do I need in place to create happiness?
Okay, so let's use that for the last few minutes of the show to kind of go down that road for people. So if they are identifying things that they need as opposed to want in order to be happy, then I would hope health is going to be on the top of the list.
Correct.
And so then they need to identify, what do I need to get healthy?
Right.
You know, do I need to exercise more?
Right.
Do I need to change my diet?
Right.
Do I need to get more sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that will make me healthy? And then they can come up with that and a plan for how to achieve that.
Right.
If they need to be debt-free,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the financial stress.
Right.
All right, then what do I need to do in order to make that happen?
Right.
Because I think a lot of people, it's sort of like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right, right.
They have so much that they're trying to accomplish that they can't figure out even where to start.
Right. Exactly. And so sitting down with, well, we all know what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what doesn't make us happy. We all know what we're sick and tired of. Okay? So when you're sitting down with yourself at the end of this month, thinking about what are my hopes and dreams and goals for 2020, let's focus on what are my hopes and dreams for 2020. Let's not reflect on what I don't want. Let's not reflect on what makes me miserable, what job I don't like. And really focus on, to be happy, I need my health, I need to be debt-free, and I need security. And those are all great things. But for those people who have all those things already, their security, they have their health, they're taking care of themselves.
Maybe they want a wonderful relationship.
Right, but let's sit
what
down.
Does that look like?
Yeah, what does that look like? In order to be happy in a relationship, the person I want to be with should have these qualities.
Right, and right? At the top of that list might be somebody that I can communicate with. Because right. If you don't have communication, you and I talked, I think, in the very, very beginning, but many, many years ago when I was starting therapy as a therapist, I used the triangle because the triangle is the strongest shape. Mm-hmm. That's why they use it for bridges to right. make the structure.
Right.
And on that 45-degree angle at the base of a triangle is trust right. and communication.
Right.
And so you can't have a healthy relationship without being able to talk to your partner, and you have to be right. able to trust them. So if your trust is eroding because you don't know where they are, who they're with, you know, what's going on inside their head, if the communication is just not working because of trust, you're not going to talk to that person very much.
That's true.
And so
that's true. And so you break that down into some very good points, and I would expand on that by saying, A, trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to trust
Listen
yourself.
Listen to your heart.
Right. You need to trust yourself. You need to love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you may settle for things that don't make you happy, which is going to lead you down to a lack of trust and a lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So start with learning to love yourself, learning to value yourself, and then learning to say what I want is really okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what other people think about what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It matters what I think about what I want.
You know, again, because we're talking about relationships a little bit as we're looking at 2020 as one of the things that maybe somebody needs besides their health, their finances in order, you know, maybe a philosophical, you know, change approach
yeah.
to life. But with relationships, I hear both men and women say what I want is intimacy.
Right.
And they don't mean sex.
No.
They mean being able to be vulnerable.
Right.
With somebody and feel safe.
Right.
And do you see that as well?
Well, I do see that as, and you know, a lot of people are afraid of vulnerability.
Sure.
And so that is one of the things that holds people back in relationships when people can allow their vulnerability. So what's on the other side of vulnerability is the joy, the comfort of not holding that pain in anymore.
Right.
Whatever it is that's causing them to feel vulnerable.
Right.
When you allow yourself to be vulnerable, you're allowing that other person to give you the gift of compassion and love and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, you know, so it's two-sided.
It is.
If you're blocking it, you're preventing somebody from really knowing you.
Well, and I'm going to kind of say this as well, because in some cases, the person isn't able to be vulnerable because they're in a relationship where they, quote unquote, have to be strong.
Right.
And they're so afraid that if they let that down, the guard down, I can't be this strong individual for another person.
Right.
You know, that the whole thing will crumble. And so
right.
they have identified that their role in life
is to be the strong one.
And they look for people, and you and I have known people like this, but they look for people. Unfortunately, their antenna is constantly turning around looking for somebody who needs them, that needs
right.
their strength.
Right.
And so when they finally realize that what they want is intimacy and what they want is to be with a person where they can just be themselves.
Right.
You know, that means changing that paradigm altogether.
Right, which is another form of vulnerability,
yes.
right? Because
yeah.
if I'm not strong, then what am I?
Exactly. And
right.
who am I,
right.
you know, if that's not my role anymore?
Right. And so then we often think, well, that makes me weak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not weak. We came to this experience, to Earth, to experience emotions of all types.
Right.
And so we're allowed to cry. We're allowed to be strong. We're allowed to be on our knees, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're also allowed to jump for joy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to experience all of those emotions. That's what makes us different than, you know, animals, right? And we, you know,
well, there are a lot of animals that do experience emotion.
They do.
But I don't know whether bugs do, and I don't know whether worms do. But
no,
I know cats and dogs do.
Cats do, dogs do.
Horses.
But, you know, but knowing that we're experiencing that. Uh-huh. We know when we're joyful.
Right.
Animals just, they're joyful. They don't have to judge it.
Right. You can tell by their tails.
That's right.
Or their ears.
Or their eyes. Mm-hmm. Their eyes can express it.
Exactly.
And so, embrace all of the emotions, whether we're vulnerable, strong, or joyful. We're meant to feel them all, mm-hmm. and grow from them all.
And, sometimes if somebody doesn't have a pet in their life, sometimes that's the avenue to opening up to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Animals have an unconditional regard for mm-hmm. us.
Right.
And unfortunately, even those animals that have been abused, they still love.
They still love.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
They really do, because they don't know
yeah.
any other way.
Right. And so there's maybe a page out of their life, that can help somebody else heal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of children that I've worked with have therapy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They have therapy horses.
Therapy rats and gerbils I've heard of as
really,
well.
Really, yeah. Really.
Something you can just hold your hand.
Mm-hmm. And that's alive.
Right, alive, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe it teaches them also some abilities of giving, because they require care.
Right.
And so it's a two-way street. The animal is giving you unconditional love, and in return you're giving them the things they need, including love.
Right.
So
yeah, it does teach a lot of responsibility, mm-hmm. and brings in feelings that may have been dormant as well,
mm-hmm.
in people.
In people. Right.
So
2020, wow, that is going to be an amazing year, I think.
I agree.
On many, many different levels for so many people. And, as we look at moving into this new decade,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of recap, going into their emotional closet,
yes.
and getting rid of things that no longer serve them. Maybe looking at their physical body and realizing, if I don't get healthy now, when?
Right.
Maybe looking at their spiritual life,
mm.
And I'm not talking about a religious life. I'm talking about,
right.
A spiritual understanding that we are divine beings,
mm-hmm.
that are here on this planet for
right.
a purpose.
Right.
And do you know what your purpose is? Do you
right.
want to discover what your purpose is?
Right. Right, and this is the time to do that. The end of the year, the beginning of a decade,
mm-hmm.
clear the clutter, let that,
mm-hmm.
Let that old dream come out of the closet.
And where do you want to be in 10 years?
You want to be in 10
so
years?
So in 2030,
yeah.
Do you want to be
can
able...
Can you believe that? 2030?
2030. But, we'll all be here, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, we will.
And so it's like, what do you want these next 10 years
yeah.
to be about? And
that
something
else,
what's
right?
what's in there. And again, I go back to the Synergy Connection show. It's about the emotional, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. So
right.
what do you want to bring these 10 years
yes.
into being? How is it going to look?
Yeah.
And treat it as a journey. Treat it as
an
amazing
journey.
It's very
exciting.
You're at the gate.
Yes, you're at the gate. You're at the starting gate.
Mm-hmm.
You got you're trained. You're ready for this.
Right.
And
what's in your suitcase?
That's right.
Did you bring along some treats? And what kind of treats are they?
That's right. And let's get rid of those things you don't need for this journey.
Right. Well, I think it's all just very exciting. And I hope people that have listened to the show today get that sense of excitement
right.
As they approach the end of this decade and where they want to go in the next decade as we open the doors to 2020. It can be such an amazing journey.
Oh,
such an amazing journey.
Totally. One last thought. Do you remember when the calendar turned to 2000?
I do.
The millennial, we
yes.
were all going to die or
yes.
disintegrate.
Yes, I do.
That was the funniest fear that most people had,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well,
and that was 20
years ago. And where did the time go?
I don't know. It
yeah.
just goes by. So make it count. Bring
yeah.
joy in and do the things you want to do.
And even if people are saying, I don't know where to begin, take the first step.
That's
just
right.
the very first step, and look around and say, where do I want to make a difference? Because we
right.
can't always make a huge difference, but
right.
we can make a difference in our life and in somebody's life every single day.
Right. And one thing about take that first step, the second step will show up.
You have to take it. You can't just stand still.
Right, you have to take it.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for being my guest. Everybody who listened today that has a friend, a family member that you want to hear the show, and I think this is a really special show as we begin 2020, send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. And the shows are all archived there. And this will be the top show with Patricia Simone. Make 2020 your very best year. Check out the Boomer website, too, for health and wellness. And I hope everyone has the merriest of Christmas. Thank you. See you next week.